بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين نقرأ من كتاب زبدة المقول على ثلاث الأصول كتاب للشيخ شرح للشيخ محمد بن عبد الله با جمال حفظه الله للكتاب ثلاثة أصول. We're reading from زبدة المقول, which is an explanation of ثلاثة أصول, the book that's authored by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Najdi, explained by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdullahi با جمال اليمني الحضرمي. And we have arrived in the section pertaining to al-istighatha. And prior to us entering into this lesson, we would like to quickly review a portion of the lesson that came yesterday, or the day before yesterday. Because yesterday we had our class in Ahkam al-Siyam. And prior to entering into this lesson, we seek pardoning from our brothers and sisters for the delay. We will start having our class at a different time very soon, inshallah, tomorrow. I will announce the different times, especially being that the month of Ramadan is coming. بإذن الله تعالى سنغير الوقت لهذا الدرس للدرس ثلاثة أصول لوقت آخر ربما يكون بعد الظهر أو بعد العصر في وقتنا يعني لعله يكون بعد الظهر ولربما يكون أحسن من أجل الناس الذين يجهزون أنفسهم لإفطار لا يكونوا مشغولين بدرس. Perhaps we may have a different time schedule during the month of Ramadan for this class, and inshallah we'll announce it tomorrow after having some mashura from our brothers. But before, قبل ما ندخل درس الاستغاثة, نحب أن نراجع جزءا من درسنا في الاستعاذة. في الاستعاذة. وكما أخذنا قال الشيخ شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب النجدي رحمه الله قال والدليل الاستغاثة قوله تعالى قل أعوذ برب الفلق. الدليل الاستعاذة قول الله عز وجل قل أعوذ برب الفلق من سورة الفلق. قل أعوذ برب الناس من سورة الناس آية الأولى. وما هي الاستغاثة أو ما هي الاستعاذة عفوا ما هي الاستعاذة. What is the meaning of استعاذة؟ الاستعادة هي طلب العيادة من مكروه. Is seeking refuge from something that's disliked. وكما يقال الالتجاء والاعتصام والالتصاق بجانب الله من شر كل ذي شر. هذا هو الاستعادة. الاستعادة is to seek, the act of seeking recourse or seeking protection or security with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from every evil of the one who possesses evil or some type of harm. This is what isti'adha is. And we have mentioned, similar to al-isti'ana, al-isti'adha has different categories. Similar to isti'ana, isti'adha has categories. And also, as we will take, isti'gatha has categories also. And from the categories of isti'ana is, يعني من أقسام الاستعانة كما أخذنا أقسام الاستعاذة. أقسام الاستعاذة أربعة. أقسام الاستعاذة أربعة. الاستعادة بالله وهذه عبادة لا يجوز صرفها لغير الله عز وجل. الاستعادة, the first category is استعادة بالله, to seek security, to seek refuge with Allah. And this is the type of worship that one must make sure that they direct it. This is the worship that one implements in their life. When you have isti'adha billah, this is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, worship is not to be directed except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is directed to anyone other than Allah, then this is shirk. This is shirk. The second is isti'adha bi sifati min sifati Allah azza wa jalla. The second is seeking rescue or seeking protection or seeking refuge with a sifat min sifat Allah azza wa jal. وَهَذَا مَشْرُوعٌ. As we have taken, this is legislated. As we have taken yesterday, this is legislated. Similar to the statement, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ تَامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقٍ. كلمات الله هي صفة من صفات الله عز وجل. As we've taken yesterday, this is a category that is legislated. This is a category that is legislated, similar to the first one. It's the act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, worship is to be directed to Him alone. So the first category, يعني قسم الأول الاستعاذة بالله وهذه عبادة لا يجوز صرفها لغير الله. والثاني الاستعاذة بصفة من صفات الله وهذا مشروع كما ذكرناه. وثالث الاستعاذة بمخلوق فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله وهذا لا يجوز لأنه شرك بالله عز وجل. The third category, we mentioned the first, which is seeking refuge with Allah. And the second is seeking refuge with a صفة من صفات الله. وكل صفات الله عز وجل صفات كامل, صفات التي تليق بجلاله, صفات يعني لا تنفك عنه أبدا. All of the attributes of Allah are attributes which are perfect attributes, attributes which are complete. There is no deficiency in an attribute from the attributes of Allah whatsoever. So being that it's an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's permissible to seek refuge with Allah from one of his, by way of using one of his attributes, by way of dua pertaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to use one of his attributes when making dua. In the third category, as the Shaykh mentioned, isti'adatu bi makhluqin fima la yaqdir alayhi illallah. This third is seeking refuge, which is, we mentioned, al-isti'adatu bi makhluqin, to seek refuge with a creation of Allah regarding that which no one is capable of helping in, or no one is worthy of seeking refuge with pertaining to this particular thing except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not permissible to seek refuge with anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular category. The Shaykh said, "Isti'adat bi makhluqin fi ma la yaqdir alayhi illallah," regarding that which no one is able to give refuge to, or give refuge except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pertaining to that particular thing. هذا لا يجوز. This is not permissible. And then the Shaykh, as we mentioned, the Shaykh, he said that this is shirk billah. And he mentioned three different types of forms, three examples. يعني ذكر ثلاثة أمثلة. يعني قال له ثلاث صور, له ثلاث صور. الأول, السورة الأولى, الاستعاذة بميت. The first form that the Shaykh he brought as an example is seeking refuge with the dead, seeking refuge, seeking security, seeking refuge with the dead, regardless if he is a prophet, يعني سواء كان نبيا مرسلا أو وليا صالحا. Regardless if he is someone who is a prophet that was sent, or a sheikh or scholar or person of righteousness from the salihin, regardless of the sahaba or other than them, this is not permissible. This is shirk, to seek refuge with other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the dead, this is incorrect. And then the Shaykh mentioned istighadatu bihayyin hadirin ghayri qadirin fi al-zahir. The second example that the Shaykh mentioned is seeking aid, meaning seeking refuge with someone who is living, he's present, but he is not capable of assisting in that particular thing. And he brought an example as to why. Why? He said, why is it that this is considered to be shirk? Because this individual, he believes that this person that is giving him aid, or the person that he's seeking refuge with, he believes that the person he's seeking refuge with has some hidden powers, has some hidden capability beyond his human capacity or abilities. He believes he has some type of special power. This is why this individual that is living and he's present, but he's not capable, this is incorrect, to seek refuge with this individual. Now, the Shaykh, he mentioned if one was to believe that this individual is worthy or he has the ability to assist him and give him refuge, but then it becomes apparent that he does not have the ability, then this is not considered to be incorrect or shirk. And then the third example that the Shaykh he brought, الاستعاذة بحيٍ قادرٍ لكنه غائب, to seek refuge with one who is living and he's capable of helping that particular thing, however he is absent. Said that this is incorrect. And why would one believe that this is permissible? Because they have belief that this person has hidden power also, and he has ability to control, has some type of power over the universe. He has the ability, as they say, as they mentioned, tadbir al-kawn. They may believe he has some type of control over the universe. Or ya'lam asir. Or ya'lam asir. Or he knows the unseen. This is shirk also. This is shirk also. So it's not permissible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ya'lamu ghayb illa hu. No one knows the unseen except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one's able to assist you in their absence, except in their absence without being around you except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one that we turn to for aid and assistance. Allah is the one we seek refuge with from everything that we fear. طيب, and then the last category that the Shaykh mentioned is الاستعاذة بمخلوق فيما يقدر عليه. الاستعاذة بالمخلوق فيما يقدر عليه. يعني هذا مهم. هذه نقطة مهمة جدا. فيما يقدر عليه. وهي على نوعين. The Shaykh, he mentioned the last category is the act of seeking refuge with the creation regarding something that he's capable of assisting in. Seeking refuge with the creation regarding something that he is capable of assisting in. And this is with conditions, as our scholars have mentioned, that this person, he is hay, he's living, hadir, he is present, wa qadir, he has the ability. He must be hayyun, hadir, qadir. He must be living, he must be present, and he must be able. He must be able to assist in that thing. And this is of two categories. The issue of seeking refuge from someone based on them being able to assist in that particular thing. The act of seeking refuge, or seeking refuge with someone who has the ability to assist in that particular thing you may need. There's two types. ما كان في واجب فيجب. He said, ما كان في واجب فيجب. أو مستحب فمستحب. أو مباح فجائز. With the first category is the one who may be able to assist or give refuge pertaining to a particular matter from someone in need. It may be a situation which is incumbent upon this person to seek refuge from this person. It may be an issue of it being highly recommended for this person to seek refuge with this person. Or it may be permissible, just permissible. So each situation requires an individual to look in detail to which category is most appropriate regarding his situation. And this is the first category. And we mentioned the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned with regards to the affairs of fitna that will come. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man wajada fiha malja'an aw ma'adan falyu'ud bihi." Whoever finds a shelter, whoever finds a place of protection, then he should take shelter, or he should take refuge with that. Meaning, when if a fitna comes, then if this big fitna comes, as we mentioned the hadith in its length, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Satakun fitanun." There will be a fitna, or there will be trials. Fitanun. Al-abid fiha khair. He said, "Satakun fitanun." Al-qa'id fiha. The person who is sitting in it. Al-abd al-ladhi qa'id fiha khairun min al-qa'id. Min al-qa'im. The person who is sitting in it is better than the one who's qa'im. And the person who is, the person who's qa'im fiha, the one who's standing in, is better than al-mashi, the one who's walking. Wal-mashi fiha, the person who is walking in it, khayru min al-sa'i, is better than the one who is running. Naam. To the end of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man wajada fiha malja'an aw ma'adhan falya'ud bihi." Tayyib, this is a proof that al-isti'adha, بمخلوق استعادة بمخلوق فيما يقدر عليه يعني قد يكون جائز قد يكون جائز فيما يقدر عليه. This is a proof that the one who seeks aid from someone, seeks refuge from someone based on their ability, based on them being able to assist, meaning they must be living, present, and they must be have the realistic ability to assist in that particular thing, then this is permissible. It may be incumbent to help, or it may be incumbent to seek assistance in this. It may be highly recommended. It may be permissible. And then the second category, and we will end this lesson or review, but this statement is the Shaykh, he said, "ما كان في أمر ممنوع محرم فلا يجوز." And it may be a situation, the second category, regarding seeking refuge with someone who has the ability. The second is that it may be a situation where someone's seeking refuge from someone regarding a matter that is prohibited. Regarding a matter that is not correct. In this situation, it's not permissible to seek, it's not permissible for this individual to seek refuge regarding something that transgressed the bounds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned the proof of this regarding the story of the woman from Bani Makhzum radiallahu anha, where she sold something and then she went to seek refuge and seek assistance with the intercession of Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salama radiallahu anha, she wanted to seek refuge and aid from not receiving capital punishment after stealing something. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Wallahi law kanat Fatimatu laqata'tu yadaha." He said, "By Allah, if it was Fatima, even if it was Fatima radiallahu anha that took something, he would still make sure that the punishment applies." It shows that intercession or seeking refuge with the creation and that which is not permissible, then it's not permissible in itself. It's not permissible in itself. طيب اليوم بإذن الله تعالى نبدأ درسنا الجديد في الاستغاثة. By the permission of Allah, we will start a lesson regarding الاستغاثة. قال المصنف رحمه الله ودليل الاستغاثة قوله تعالى إذ تستغيثون ربكم فاستجاب لكم. شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب النجدي رحمه الله ذكر هذه الآية قال والدليل الاستغاثة قوله تعالى إذ تستغيثون ربكم فاستجاب لكم. هذه الآية دليل على أن الاستغاثة أن الاستغاثة عبادة لأنه قال إذ تستغيثون ربكم فاستجاب لكم. This issue of istighatha, and we will mention what is the meaning of istighatha and what is the proof with regards to the different types of istighatha. Istighatha is mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 9. In Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ. Remember when تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ. Remember when you sought help from your Lord, or sought help of your Lord. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. And He answered you. Remember when you sought help of your Lord, and He answered you. Meaning He aided you in that situation. This is Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 9. الشرح قوله ودليل الاستغاثة. الشيخ الآن الشيخ محمد با جمال يشرح ما معنى الاستغاثة. The Sheikh explains what الاستغاثة is. قال الاستغاثة هي طلب الغوث وهي دعاء. إلا أن الاستغاثة أخص من الدعاء. إلا أن الاستغاثة أخص والدعاء أعم. فالدعاء يكون في الرخاء والشدة، والاستغاثة تكون في الشدة. نرجو أن هذا مفهوم. نعيد الكلام. قال الاستغاثة هي طلب الغوث وهي دعاء. إلا أن الاستغاثة أخص والدعاء أعم. فالدعاء يكون في الرخاء والشدة، والاستغاثة تكون في الشدة. The Sheikh, he mentioned in his explanation with regards to the statement ودليل الاستغاثة, the proof with regards to الاستغاثة. As we mentioned, the word that starts off with alif, seen, ta, it means طلب. It means to request something. Here, الاستغاثة, ما معنى الاستغاثة? What is the meaning of استغاثة? The Sheikh, he said, هي طلب الغوث. It means to seek غوث. To seek غوث. To seek the removal, the assistance in time of, basically in time of fear or hardship. And the Sheikh, he mentioned, وَهِيَ دُعَاء. And الاستغاثة is dua. Except for the fact that الاستغاثة is more specific. It's more special. It's more different than just general dua. Dua is more general of a term. Supplication. Dua, supplication is more general. But الاستغاثة is more specific. The Sheikh, he said, dua is in times of ease and hardship. But istighatha is in time of hardship. And istighatha is in time of hardship. To seek dua, to make dua to Allah in time of hardship, this is called al-istighatha. Aqsam al-istighatha thalathatun. Al-istighatha is of three types. Al-istighatha is of three types. The Sheikh said, أقسام الاستغاثة ثلاثة. الاستغاثة بالله وهذه عبادة لا يجوز صرفها لغير الله. The first category of istighatha, as we remember to take notes. We want to remember to take notes. The first type of istighatha is to the act of worship. الاستغاثة بالله. To seek aid in time of difficulty from Allah. This is istighatha. And this, no doubt, is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an act of worship. So being that it's an act of worship, it is not permissible to direct worship to anyone other than Allah. So in this that is not permissible, and this, based on this, it is not permissible to direct your dua to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this is the first. This is the first. Al-istighathatu billahi. هذه عبادة لا يجوز صرفها لغير الله. طيب قسم الثاني الاستغاثة بمخلوق فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله وهذا لا يجوز لأنه شرك بالله. هذا التقسيم مثل التقسيم الدرس الذي قبله وكذلك تقسيم للاستعانة. هذا التقسيم مثل التقسيم للاستعانة والاستعاذة. This categorization of istighatha is similar to the categorization of al-isti'ana, seeking aid, and isti'adha, and also seeking refuge. طيب, we mentioned the first category being istighatha billah, seeking aid in times of difficulty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned that, no doubt. This is dua. This is dua. Asking Allah to aid in times of difficulty, in times of hardship. And this is not permissible to call on anyone other than Allah. This is a must to be directed to Allah. Why? Because it's worship. And all worship is directed exclusively to Allah. The second type of istighatha is the type of istighatha which is directed to the creation of Allah regarding that which He is not capable of aiding in. Regarding that which He is not capable of aiding in. In this category, it's not permissible. La yajuz. It's not permissible. Why? Because it's shirk. This is shirk billah. This is associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh mentioned, lahu thalathu suwar. Has three forms, three different types of categories that he would like to explain. There's three different types. The first, al-istighathatu bi-mayyit. Sawa'un kana nabiyyan mursalan aw waliyyan salihan. The first is to seek aid in time of fear from someone who is deceased. Regardless, if this deceased individual is from the Prophet, a prophet from the prophets who have been sent to mankind, who is deceased, or a righteous individual, regardless of as a Sahabi, or a Shaykh, or a person that was known to be a person of worship or dignity. If this person deceased, it's not permissible. Regardless of what this individual, who this individual is, it's not permissible. And this is what some have fell into. Al-istighathatum bi-mayyitin, with the dead. The second istighathah bi-hayyin hadir ghayri qadir, fi al-zahir. The second, the Shaykh mentioned, seeking aid, seeking assistance in time of fear, with the one who is living, he's present, however, he's present, meaning, yani, in your presence, however, he is not capable of assisting. And he called غير قادر في الظاهر. It's clear that this individual will not have the ability to assist. لاعتقاد, why was this category incorrect? لاعتقاده فيه بأن له قوة خفية. The individual may believe that this person, as we mentioned, he has some type of special powers. He has some special abilities. This is incorrect. As far as with an individual who is living, he's present, and one believes that he has ability to assist, this is different. But once it becomes clear to him that he does not have the ability to assist him in this thing, it is not permissible to continue believing that this person has some special power and assistance. This individual, لا حرج. This person who believes and then it becomes clear that he doesn't have the ability, then this, of course, this person is not in sin. أَمَّا إِذَا كَانَ يَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ قَادِرٌ فَظَاهَرَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ غَيْرٌ قَادِرٍ فَلَا حَرَجٌ. This is what the Shaykh said. if the person believed that he has ability to assist, and then it became apparent that he doesn't have the ability to assist him, then there's no problem in this situation. And then the third that the Shaykh had mentioned, al-istighathatu bihayyin qadirin lakinnahu ghaibun, seeking aid in time of fear, or in time of difficulty, time of hardship, seeking aid in time of hardship, because it doesn't have to be fear, it could be hardship, it could be fear, it could be anything disliked, where the situation is tight, unease, it's not easy for a person. And this is considered as istighatha. But in the third category, the Shaykh said, istighatha bi hayyi qadir, hayyin qadirin, lakinnahu qa'id, to seek aid from someone in time of hardship, from someone who is living, he's living, and he's qadir, he has the ability to assist, lakinnahu qa'id, however he's not present. So this makes the person unable to assist. He's not present right there in front of him. There's no way to have contact with him. This individual, the person, why would this be incorrect? And we must mention a reason why these categories is incorrect. Because a person may have a belief in their heart that a person has certain abilities, or they have a special connection with Allah, or they believe that this person has the ability to transform or change the creation, or that they're able to have some type of control over the universe, or they believe that this person has knowledge of the unseen. This is what makes the person who seeks aid in times of hardship from someone who is living, and they have the ability, but they're not present in front of them. This is what makes this haram. This is what makes it shirk, because this person is not there. He's not there with him. And the person who has this belief, that this person who is absent can aid them, they have incorrect premises and incorrect beliefs regarding this person that they're seeking assistance and they're directing their dua to. So this makes it shirk. طيب. ثم الشيخ قال الاستغاثة ثم الآن ذكر قسم الثالث لأنه قال يعني أقسام الاستغاثة ثلاثة الاستغاثة بالله وهذه عبادة لا يجوز صرفها لغير الله الثاني الاستغاثة بمخلوق فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله وهذا لا يجوز لأنه الشرك بالله ثم الشيخ ذكر ثلاثة صور لهذا القسم يعني استغاثة بميت استغاثة بحي حاضر غير قادر والاستغاثة بحي قادر لكنه غائب طيب والآن ننتقل إلى قسم الثالث The Shaykh, he mentioned that there's three types of istighatha. The three types of istighatha. The first type of istighatha is to seek aid in times of hardship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt, this is worship. And being that this is worship, it's not permissible to direct it to anyone other than Allah. Tayyib, that's the first category. The second category is to seek aid in times of hardship with the creation regarding that which he's not capable of assisting in. And this, he mentioned, has three different types, three categories. This that we just mentioned, seeking aid in times of hardship from the creation and regarding that which he's not capable of assisting in. He mentioned this has three types. قال له ثلاثة صور وذكرنا ثلاثة. And we mentioned the three. الأول الاستغاثة بميت. The first is seeking aid in times of hardship with the dead, regardless if it's a prophet or a righteous person, what have you. The second is الاستغاثة بحي حاضر غير قادر. The second, first as we mentioned, to seek aid in times of hardship with the dead. Haram, shirk. The second is istighatha بحي حاضر غير قادر. To seek aid in times of hardship with the one who is living and he's present but he's not able to assist. Haram. This is incorrect, impermissible. Why? It's because it's shirk. This person believes that this person has special powers, as we mentioned, special abilities. The third, which is haram, which is shirk, is istighathatu bihayyin, qadir lakinnahu ghaib, to seek aid in times of hardship with one who is living. He is able to help, but he's not present right there. He's not present right there. And why would one call on someone that's not present right in front of them? Why would they call on them? Because they believe that this person has some type of special abilities. They believe that this person has control over the universe, or they have some type of knowledge of the unseen. This is impermissible. Now we move to the third category. That second category, category we just mentioned, is of three categories within itself. Now we're moving to the third. الثالثة الاستغاثة بحي استغاثة بالحي القادر الحاضر وهذا جائز. The third is to seek aid from someone who is from the living and they're able to assist and they are present right in front of you. This, the Sheikh said, هذا جائز. This is permissible. This category is permissible. الاستغاثة بالحي القادر الحاضر وهذا جائز. This category, it is permissible. قال تعالى فاستغاثه الذي من شيعته على الذي من عدوه فوكزه موسى فقضى عليه. He mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the story of Musa alayhi salam. Where Allah says, فاستغاثه الذي من شيعته. So the person from his party asked him for help. فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ. See, this is the statement Allah mentioned. فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ. So the person from his party, meaning the party of Musa, the people of Musa, asked him, this individual who was from his party, asked him for help. Meaning the two of them were in a fight. Someone from Musa's people was in a fight with someone else. And this person that was from Musa's people, he called on Musa to assist him in time of fight, in time of conflict. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيْعَتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ. So, the person from his party asked him for help. عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ. Against his foe. فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى. So, Musa struck him with his fist. فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى. فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. And Musa killed him. When he struck him with his fist, he killed this individual. So this shows that al-istighatha bil-hayy al-qadir al-hadir. This shows that istighatha, seeking aid with something, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. Istighatha bil-hayy al-qadir al-hadir, hadha jaiz. This is permissible. If one is living, they're able, and they're living, they're able, and they're in front of you, this is permissible. This is permissible. طيب. قال و قال وأكثر ما أوقع الناس في الاستغاثات الشركية الجهل بدعوة الرسل والأحاديث والآثار والحكايات المكذوبة الموضوعة والضعيفة. الشيخ mentioned, before we move on, we would like to mention the Sheikh Muhammad bin Jamal al-Hafidhullah, he said, and most of the people who fall into this category, fil istighathat, in seeking aid in times of hardship, and which is considered shirk, is the people who are ignorant with the ignorant, they're ignorant with regards to their actions of invoking the prophets. أكثر ما أوقع الناس في الاستغاثات الشركية الجهل الجهل بدعوة الرسل. The ones who fall deep into this issue of shirk, calling on the prophets, calling on the people who are considered to be righteous, are those individuals who are ignorant. Those who invoke the prophets, those who invoke some of the Sahaba, people who are ignorant. And some ignorance is murakkab, and some ignorance is yani jahl basir. Some ignorance is compounded ignorance, and some ignorance is ignorance which an individual may just be, they don't know. They may have a tradition from their people, you know, a tradition that they've, from their culture. But when the truth comes to an individual who believes in Allah and says he believes in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the truth comes to him regarding making dua and seeking aid in times of hardship or in times of ease, regardless of what that is, to seek to make dua to Ahl al-Qubur, if it's made clear to him that this is shirk, and if someone explains to him that this is incorrect, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He alone is the one who we direct our needs to, not the graves of the righteous, if it's made clear to him, he must leave it. And it's incumbent upon him to leave it. And if the hujjah, if the proof is established upon him, and he continues in this action, then this is a sign that he has chosen the pathway of deviance. He chose the pathway of kufr, disbelief. And it's a must for every believer to be wise regarding his worship of Allah and know that he should direct it exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Na'am. And whoever chooses a path other than the path of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after clear guidance has been given to him, he chooses that which is of deviance and he doesn't want the way of the believers, then we leave him in that which he has chosen. We leave him in that which he's chosen after we make clear with clarification and knowledge in a best way. If he chooses that, then it's a shame. And it's sad in this day and time we find many Muslims have committed this, these atrocities of shirk, these evil actions of shirk without knowing. So it's important for the Muslims to be educated regarding staying away from the graves of the deceased and making dua to the deceased from the righteous, regardless if they're prophets who were sent to mankind or they're righteous men of the communities. And the Shaykh, he mentioned, he said, الجهل بدعوة الرسل والأحاديث والآثار, the worst type of individual who will fall into this and shirk is those who have ignorance and they don't know about the da'wah, the call that the prophets established in their life. These are those who fall into shirk. Well, Shaykh, he said, وَالْأَحَدِيثُ وَالْآثَارُ وَالْحِكَايَاتُ الْمَكْذُوبَةُ وَالْمَوْضُوعَةُ الشيخ said, وَالْأَحَدِيثُ وَالْآثَارُ وَالْحِكَايَاتُ الْمَكْذُوبَةُ والموضوعة والضعيفة مثل إذا أعينتكم الأمور فعليكم بأهل القبور. هذا حديث موضوع. The Shaykh, he mentioned the problem with a lot of Muslims and people who ascribe themselves to Islam is they believe in those ahadith, those fabricated and weak narrations which have been ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those weak, fabricated narrations which have been ascribed to Islam, such as the hadith, إِذَا أَعْيَنَتْكُمْ الْأُمُورُ فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِأَهْلِ الْقُبُورِ إِذَا أَعْيَنَتْكُمْ الْأُمُورُ فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِأَهْلِ الْقُبُورِ. The statement, if the affairs get difficult, then it is upon you to turn to the people of the graves. This is a hadith which has been fabricated, ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is incorrect, and it's very important to stay away from narrations which are not authentically reported, those narrations which are not correct, which call to shirk, which some people of deviance have ascribed to the Prophet ﷺ, and this statement, either أعينتكم الأمور فعليكم بأهل القبور, هناك اتفاق بين العلماء أن هذا الحديث كذب مفترى على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بإجماع العارفين بحديث ولم يرويه أحد من العلماء بذلك كما قال الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله. This statement, إذا أعينتكم الأمور فعليكم بأهل القبور, this statement, where if the affairs get difficult, then it's upon you to return to the people of the graves, mean those who are possessed in the graves from the prophets and the messenger. This is a clear lie. And there's a statement from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, regarding this weak, fabricated hadith. He mentioned that this hadith is a lie. It's a fabricated lie upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's a consensus amongst the scholars of hadith that this is a lie. And there is no one from the narrators of hadith who have reported this hadith. There's no narrators. There's no one who has reported this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no one knows of this to be authentically reported. So this is a poison that has been added in to the creed of many who ascribe themselves to Islam. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned, وَمِثْلُ مَنْ اَعْتَقَدَ فِي حَجْرِ نَفَعَهُ. And then he mentioned a statement, another fabricated statement. These are examples of the many where it's been ascribed to the Prophet ﷺ, this lie where he said, whoever, مَنْ اَعْتَقَدَ فِي حَجْرِ نَفَعَهُ, whoever believed in the Hajr al-Aswad, and the Hajr here means Hajr al-Aswad, the rock, then nafa'ahu, then it will benefit them. It will benefit them. And this is another incorrect statement. And there's so many proofs that make these creeds incorrect and make them, and many of the scholars have refuted them. And from that, what comes to mind regarding this, يعني من اعتقد في حجر يعني من الأدلة على أن هذا يعني كذب وافتراء على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما جاء عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. That which comes to mind with regards to this statement, whoever believes in the stone, then it will benefit him. يعني ما قال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. What did عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال لما أقبل على حجر الأسود, when عمر بن الخطاب, when he went to when he was making tawaf and he wanted to kiss the black stone, what did he mention? He said something to the fact of والله إني أعلم أنك حجر لا تنفع ولا تضر. He said, by Allah, I know that you are just a rock. You're just a stone. You do not benefit nor do you harm. He said, وَلَوْلَا أَنَّنِي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, if it was not for me seeing the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني, having kissed you, لَوْلَا أَنِّي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, يعني, if I didn't see him, يعني, kiss you, قَبَّلَكْ مَا قَبَّلْتُكْ. He said, if I did not see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kiss you, I would never kiss you. So this shows that he, as he mentioned, يعني إني والله إني لا أعرف أنك حجر لا تنفع ولا تضر. He said, verily I know that you are a rock, you're a stone, you do not have any benefit nor harm. And if it wasn't for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to kiss you, then I would not have kissed you. So this shows that this creed that some have is batil. That this is falsehood, and this is an act which everyone should warn against. نعم. والشيخ قال وهكذا ما وقع في بعض الحكايات أن فلان استغاث بفلان فجاءه وأغاثه وهو لم يأته أصلا وإنما أتاه الشيطان في صورته لقصد إغوائه إذ هم يعينون الناس على الشرك. الشيخ قال وهكذا ما وقع في بعض الحكايات. يعني هناك بعض القصص يذكرون أن فلان استغاث بفلان فجاءه وأغاثه, يعني أغاثه بعدما استغاث به يعني أغاثه. وفعلا الشيخ قال وهو لم يأتيه أصلا, هو لم يأتيه أصلا, وإنما أتاه الشيطان في صورته. الشيخ mentioned there's also some stories, some fabricated tales that have been narrated where such and such person, he sought help from such and such person, and then that person, he came to him and he removed that hardship from him. And the Sheikh, he said, while this individual in reality didn't go to him, really it's only Shaitan that went to him and he made himself look like this individual. And he came to him in the form of this individual. Shaitan, he can come to certain individual. A'udhu billahi minhu. Na'udhu billahi minhu. We seek refuge with Allah from Shaitan. But Shaitan comes to some individuals in the form of someone that they called on. If a person commits shirk, they may believe in their istighatha, in seeking aid in time of fear, that if they made dua and sought aid from this individual in time of fear, that this individual himself has come to him and relieved him of that hardship. And Shaitan will come in the form of that individual just to trick this individual, or to entice him, or to make him believe that this individual came to him. Based on that fact, it is not permissible to do this. The Shaykh, he said, يعني وَإِنَّمَا أَتَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِصُورَتِي. Rather, it is only Shaytan that went to him in his form, in the form of that individual that was called on a time of hardship. لِإِغْوَائِهِ, in order to trick him or entice him. إِذْ هُمْ يَعِينُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى الشِّرْكِ. Based on the fact that Shaytan helps the people with their shirk. نعم, هذا من مجموع الفتاوى الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله. This is taken from مجموع الفتاوى. ثم we end in this lesson with the statement, فإن قيل هل هناك فرق بين الاستغاثة والتوصل. The Shaykh, he mentioned, is there a difference, if it was asked, what is the difference between الاستغاثة والتوصل, if it is asked what is the difference between استغاثة and توصل. يعني استغاثة is to seek استغاثة is to seek aid in time of hardship. And التوصل is to seek request or seek aid because of him. The Shaykh, he said, قلنا نعم هناك فرق. Yes, there's a difference. وذلك أن الاستغاثة مطلوب منه والوسيلة مطلوب به. The Shaykh, he said, the difference, yes, there's a difference. And the difference is that الاستغاثة, seeking aid in a time of hardship, is requested from him. I mean, it's requested from Allah. And wasila, I mean, التوصل, is seeking aid, or seeking, or having a request because of him, as a means of him. As an example, we say, بِرَحْمَتِكْ نَسْتَغِيثُ. Because of Allah, it's a means by way of which the goal is achieved. It's a means by way of which the goal is achieved. يعني لأن يا إخواننا الوسيلة هي قربة, يعني والواسطة, وهي ما يتوصل به إلى الشيء ويتقرب به, وكذلك التوصل إلى الشيء بدعاء. التوصل إلى الشيء بالدعاء, يعني نحن نقول برحمتك نستغيث. المعنى الوسيلة, meaning of وسيلة, it is seeking closeness, as an example, or seeking intercession on behalf of a need. And being in that time in the future, we'll talk more about this. It is yani tawassul bi shay, to seek closeness to something, to seek closeness to something, but specifically it's closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of a request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of Allah assisting a particular thing. يعني الوسيلة مطلوب به الاستغاثة مطلوب منه والوسيلة مطلوب به وبإذن الله تعالى نتحدث عن هذا وعفوا على الإطالة excuse me on the length نحب أن نجعل الدرس على الأكثر 40 دقيقة we like to keep the class at least 40 minutes not to proceed beyond that we يعني نشكر جميع إخواننا وأخواتنا بحسن استماع للدرس. We thank all of our brothers and sisters for having good presence and patience in our lessons and consistency. وجزاكم الله خيرا إن شاء الله إلى الدرس القادم غدا والحمد لله رب العالمين.